This is Andrew.
This is Seth.
Welcome to the podcast on the Edge of Forever, the podcast where we talk about Star Trek and you listen to us talk about Star Trek. This week's episode, The Enemy Within, stardate 1672.1. In case someone is keeping track of that, I am not.
I'm surprised you wrote it down.
Well, I did it because we wanted to prove that... which episode?
Don't say we. I didn't want to prove anything. I just want to get through this fucking season.
Because I wanted to...
Thank you.
...to prove that one episode came before another episode in airing order.
There you go.
Okay, so we open this episode on an alien planet. Somebody's holding a space puppy. A dog that is in a ridiculous costume to make it look like an alien.
It's fucking awful.
Just, to me, it just makes it even cuter. It's like more adorable.
It's got like a bony back ridge and spines. And a pair of fucking, like, colored chopsticks.
The antennas?
Yeah. Candy-caned chopsticks coming out of its ears. And I could only think someone either really wanted this dog to be on TV or someone really fucking hates this dog.
I think it was the dog on TV thing for me. I think that's...
Maybe it was both. I don't know who, I don't know whose dog it is. Someone knows whose dog it is, and I don't care. So, if you know whose dog it is, go ahead and write an email to us at our Gmail thing.
edgeofforever.podcast@gmail.
Yeah, write it in there. Do the whole thing. Make sure all the spelling and grammar's correct. And then fucking just delete it, because I don't care whose dog it is. It's fucking dead.
You know what? I kind of do care. You email it, and I will make fun of you on the upcoming podcast after I read it.
That's not going to work. What if they email it like 7 years later?
Well, a revival then.
Yeah. Redo.
I'm sure they'll be on like the... they'll be redoing the Voyage Home by then in the J.J. Abrams Star Trek universe, so... Okay, so they beam back up. And they beam back up to the planet after Crewman Fisher falls on some yellow dust. Cuts his hand up. Because they apparently don't have field dressings. Don't have a first aid kit at all to wrap up a cut hand.
Why would they? The guy's in a fucking bathrobe. You know what they don't have? Getting back to last fucking podcast. It would have solved all these fucking problems. Gloves.
Holy shit.
No one's got fucking gloves. Pair of leather gloves, space leather, space fucking dog leather gloves, whatever. Problem solved.
I don't think they would have solved this problem.
He cut his hand.
Oh, right, you're right, and that's why he sweat back up.
And he was covered in fucking...
some kind of magnetic...
yellow fucking...
mustardy ore.
Curry dust. It's covered in fucking curry dust. And it messes up the transporter, because apparently it's magnetic and a little spicy. And Scotty's like, oh.
It's like a 7 spicy. The transporter going to lean into like a 5.
Yeah. Zero fucking coconut milk in it. So it is hot.
So they beam up Fisher. It takes like a second longer to beam him up. And Scotty goes like, oh, maybe there's a burnout. You beam up Kirk. Kirk's a little lightheaded or something. So Scotty offers to walk him out, leaving his post totally unmanned, even though Kirk specifically says, don't leave the transporter room unmanned.
Yeah, and there was another guy.
Yeah, where'd the other guy go first? To take Fisher?
I guess.
Or no, he just left. He just kind of left before.
Went to go get a smoke.
Yeah. Smoke break.
Yeah. What happened to the Vietnamese dude?
I think he did not make it big.
Could not make the cut.
Yeah, he got dropped off.
The regular.
Maybe we'll see him in an upcoming episode.
That's nice.
His ship rotation will bring him back on.
Yeah, well, it's nice to see everyone still wearing space kimonos.
Yeah. We still got those space jumpsuit, kimono, bathrobes.
That's nice.
I don't know if those ever go away in the original series.
I hope not. That's what's keeping this show together.
You know what? As crazy, as silly as those sound.
That metal sash.
The fucking sashes to keep your phaser velcroed on. Can't get a velcro strap just on the side.
Yeah.
So they beam up Kirk. They take Kirk out. Then here comes Crazy Eyes Kirk.
Yeah.
Then just beams on.
The transporter just like, oh, well, you know, I was done beaming, but now I'm just going to work by myself because that's how shit works sometimes, right. You know?
Scotty has to, like, do a little bit to get someone on board, but, like, it just goes, and then she starts beaming him, beaming second Kirk up. Maybe this is where Scotty gets the idea to trap himself in the transporter loop.
I like to say that it beamed up dramatic reveal Kirk, which is nice.
How good is that face when he turns around?
That's terrible.
It's amazing. This episode is great for just the Shatner's Kirk faces. It just makes these amazing faces all episode. Just real. Like, if I was 100 yards away, I would know what emotions he was feeling on his face because they're that keyed up.
It's so dramatic reveal Kirk or emo Kirk.
Because of the mascara?
Yeah.
Yeah, the second Kirk has mascara on.
Yeah, a lot of mascara.
Yeah, a bunch.
I kind of felt bad. I was like, oh, sweet, Davey Havoc Kirk is running around.
Davey Havoc Kirk.
Yeah, Davey Havoc Kirk's running around. That's not fair. I actually like AFI. Anyway.
Too.
But it's like whoever directed this, I'm sure if I would have paid attention during the last 10 seconds of the credits, I would have seen who it was, but I don't give a shit. He was just like, hey, Billy. Remember when you did the Twilight Zone of Terror at 20,000 feet? However you were acting in the last 35 seconds before you opened the window and shot at the monster, do that this whole fucking episode. Go.
Well, if he's Davey Havkirk, then he has to act like that.
No, he doesn't have to. I think that may be how William Shatner was in the early 60s.
That was a default, and the other times they're like, okay, Kirk, now you
bring it back.
Yeah. Billy, now you're going to act like a human being.
Yeah.
And so Kirk walks over to the transporter console, and he kind of puts his hands on it, and I remember thinking, is Kirk going to fuck the teleporter?
Well, it's like blip talking at him, because it's making all these weird...
Yeah, it's like, blip, 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 and he's like getting his hands on it. It looks like he's about to put his dick in the transporter.
It was pretty sweet. It was getting full-on Devo.
Yeah.
Then the other guy who's supposed to be in the transporter room gets back from a smoke break.
Oh, yeah, and Kirk gives him that very slight smile.
I wrote down that he's giving him the gimme-the-D look.
Yeah, yes, yeah. It's definitely the give him the D look.
Like,
I agree.
Rough. Well.
Well, I mean, Davey Havkirk might be into that, though. I think Davey Havkirk is a fuck machine.
Well, I don't want to foreshadow too much, but definitely an attempted rape machine.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, then they go, the scene star wipes to the fucking...
the med bay?
The med bay. And whatever the guy's name is who cut his hand is getting treated by Bones.
Yeah, Fisher.
And it's like the weirdest ass vacuum / blowtorch that he's using on his hand.
Yeah.
Yes, it's making all these weird noises. And then he pulls it away and just pulls over a regular spray bottle. Yeah, just full a spray of, like, bottle. Some, like, red liquid. And it's like, there you go. Like, did you blow your... Take the one thing and spend half as much developing it, props team, so that you have two things that look futuristic and not just...
Hey, they might use spaces. They might use spray bottles. Those spray bottles in the future.
Oh, yeah. For when they do their ironing.
There's other reasons.
And they have to spray the space corgis that are all dressed up. Because they're acting up. Spray it right in the face.
Yeah. They still have to train space corgis.
That's so stupid.
So Evil Kirk makes like a bunch more faces. Bunch more great faces. I love it. He asks for Saurian brandy. Which... Why is he asking Bones for booze? I mean, I know it's not Kirk, it's Davey Have Kirk, but why is he asking Bones for booze in the med bay? Is that where he keeps it? He just keeps booze in his office at in medical?
Yeah, it cures the Jimmy legs.
Ugh. Well, you get someone down off the right table, you're like, you got a case of the Jimmy legs, have a shot of Saurian brandy.
Yeah. They got a pharyngeal foot infection, so you need some brandy on it.
Okay.
Was that Romulan Ricketts?
Romulan Ricketts. He grabs him by the back of the neck in a weird... It's kind of like... It's meant to look violent, but it almost looks like a... I don't know, like a... Like a rough sex way and not like a violence way?
Maybe.
Not like in a violence, like... Not like, there's something violent to it, but not like... I'm gonna fucking beat you up. Like, I'm gonna fuck you. That's what I got out of it.
Well,
so just, I don't grab anybody's neck like that unless shit is about to get serious with my penis and whatever genitals they're packing.
I didn't see it, so...
You didn't see the neck grab in the...
I did. I was just like, DeForest Kelly probably was like, Shatner, if you fucking grab my throat, I'm going to fucking pull you over this table and horse whip you. So that's why they had to grab all weird.
Okay. That's probably a more reasonable explanation than
because
all that stuff I just divulged about myself.
Well, yeah, DeForest Kelly was probably like, I take acting serious. You go do your fucking stupid faces all day.
Great faces.
Yeah. Good thing you you got your PhD in mime college. Good luck. Go.
And I just thought, like, yeah. And Kirk is back in that bullshit green tunic that I fucking hate as a uniform. He's going to wear it a bunch throughout the series inconsistently. Like, if he wore it for, like, 6 episodes in a row... I would understand.
Yeah, does he ever, like, is that standard uniform, or is it just like, fuck it,
I mean,
casual Friday?
It's got some kind of braids, which denote I think it's similar to the braid on the collar. I think it denotes the captain's rank, but the fuck is with that? Is that like, hey, you're captain, but like you've had a few beers and you want to feel sexy?
It's fucking terrible.
It's the worst. I hate that uniform.
It's seriously a green burlap sack with some awful oak gold trim. Just oak leaf gold trim.
And then
like,
a nice V-neck. It's got a nice V-neck.
It's a double-breasted, and it's double-breasted. And it straps around the side. That's how it holds together. Like some, like a child had to dress up, and they were like, oh, you need to be Zeus in this school play, but all you have is this old burlap sack of potatoes that I've dyed green and some of this weird gold shit. Go.
Yeah, so...
Like a child trying to redesign the t-shirt. Like, oh, well, what if you didn't slip it on or anything? You just fucking... You wrapped it around yourself several times like a mummy, and it had a fucking Velcro or, you know, a clasp on the side. Like a big buckle, like the Puritan's hat. Because that's how you keep a hat on. Fucking giant buckle. It's fucking terrible. That's an awful outfit.
So if you're the costume designer for this episode,
you're probably dead. And if you're not,
feel free to contact us. We'd love to have you on to hear your explanation for this horrible fucking shirt.
Or sweater. I don't know what the fuck it was.
It's not like the sweatery uniforms from the pilot. All right, so Kirk goes to the transporter room, and there are two space dogs. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I just wrote that poor, poor dog. It looks so unhappy with its life.
I mean,
and its master's choices.
Animals hate having costumes on, in my experience.
Whoever did the costume for that dog must have designed that shirt.
Yeah. Oh, I almost guarantee it. Again, we'd love to have you on the show.
No, not really. You're probably going to be all pissy and tell me how hard you worked and shit. I really don't care. It just looks awful.
I bet you did work hard. Person whose name I don't know.
For the 60s.
So, yeah, definitely. Oh, it advanced in years beyond ours. So then we get what I called the Kirk lurk. Because Davey Havkirk just rolls into Yeoman Rant's, like, quarters and just hanging out there drinking.
With even more eyeliner.
Yeah, even more mascara.
Like, doubled up, and he's just profusely sweating, or...
Oh, he sweats the entire episode when he's Davey Havkirk.
Yeah, ridiculous. Like, that's... Okay, so the transporter... To my knowledge, takes matter from one place, breaks it down, sends it across space, reassembles it. That's what it does. Right?
Yeah, to my understanding.
So, let's suppose you're covered in yellow curry and you break it. Somehow, and now it has split your personality Freudian style. It's split your personality and created matter from nothing.
Well, maybe it could have picked up matter from somewhere.
Because we've done that before.
But right, yeah. It's splitting.
Well, it's from that planet that got collapsed in on itself. Mm-hmm. All the matter that disappeared from that was stored up in,
Enterprise's in the transport buffer
beam and created another person. That's what we have here.
Uh-huh.
All right. So the transporter's a fucking alchemist wizard.
Right, I got it. It makes alchemist matter for a whole second person. The episode of Voyager where it combines Neelix and Tuvok is more reasonable because at least it's not creating matter. It's just creating crimes against nature, Island of Dr. Morosel. But yeah.
Yeah, just something from nothing. There you go.
So, Yeoman Rand comes in and...
still with that ridiculous hair.
Yeah, still got that beehive. I think that lasts her entire time on the show.
Oh.
I don't think it changes. But we'll see.
Then we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Get real rapey.
Super. I wrote rapey, but almost like, I also wrote next to it, like, it's just, he's trying to rape her. It's not like rapey feels like if he was just being aggressive, but he trips her and throws himself down on top of her. He's full on going for it.
Well, isn't that what rapey implies? Is they are trying to rape?
I always thought it was like a rape vibe or feeling.
Like not they so. Would had they the means to do so. Like, oh, that person is really rapey, so don't go in the same room as him if you're alone.
Yeah.
Or her, because women can rape as well.
Right. Yeah, I mean, either way, Kirk goes berserk and tries to rape her. Yeah. It's pretty rough.
Aggravated sexual assault.
Yeah. And she scratches his face. And he kind of,
throws her.
Yeah, he throws her off and he runs at, he leaves. Because at the same time.
Well, no, someone walks up and like is peering in like, oh, there's going to be a rape. I'm not going to walk in and do anything about it. I'm just going to stand here and watch.
Yeah, that guy's my boss. I don't know what I should do about this.
Yeah. Or.
She yells, you know, call Mr. Spock. And then he runs off.
Yeah.
To go do something.
He was probably pissed. He was like, I wore this loose kimono today, so no one could see what I was doing underneath here. Wearing my official.
Jesus.
My official Star Trek, Starfleet issued burka. Yeah, so he runs over to the communication panel.
And then Kirk just jumps on his back and he makes no move to shake him off. He just like he stands there and like, how long do you think I can stand with Kirk on my back? And then falls down, and then Kirk does the like slowest punch. Like punches him so slowly, and the sound doesn't quite match up.
Yeah.
Right? You notice that too? The sound, the impact did not match the speed of his fist.
I just wrote worst punch ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy just, like he jumped, I guess they were like, oh yeah, choke him, and then you fall down and you punch him after you choked him out for some reason. Let him know. Give him a good one. But like, guess what? Shatner doesn't know how to choke people. Just because he just jumped on his back. Like, oh, piggybacks. That's how people get choked out, right?
And then the director's off to the side just going, just go down. Just go down.
Yeah. Fall down. He doesn't know what he's doing. We don't have enough money to fucking do another take.
You'll be here all night.
Yeah. Look at his burlap sack. Spent all that money on them fucking ovens we didn't even show.
So then the fucking Davey Havkirk like goes to his quarters after getting away with a near rape. And you see his hand is tore up from I guess from punching him. Like what did he punch, a brick wall or a man? Because his hand looks like it's like he punched a brick wall a bunch of times. Looks kind of chewed up. And the makeup on that is awful.
Yeah.
They're just like, hey, roll your hand in this ink.
Yeah, I definitely think that William Shatner took his hat and he turned it on backwards so he could just go full over the top in that scene.
And then he sucks his fist.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I mean, I kind of understand you get a cut and you're going to suck on it to like, oh, what is it? Why do people do that?
To make it infected.
Right. So he's trying to get his hand infected.
Yeah, he's trying to infect himself, make it worse, stop the blood from clotting.
And then we get a report to Sensitive Kirk that he tried to rape somebody.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I didn't.
Well, I'm going to go face my accuser. Well, let's go down there.
Yeah, and then we go to what I think is the roughest scene ever, because Yoman Rand is explaining the aggravated sexual assault to the assaulter.
What?
To the assailant. This would never happen. Now, at least
there's a lot in this scene that I would like to complain about, but if I say anything about what I want to say about it, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have some rape advocacy groups be really mad at me, and I'm not going to do it. So, yeah.
Okay.
No, because it's... She goes, yeah, you definitely did it. And I scratched his face, and Kirk goes, do I have a scratch on my face? And she's like, well, I remember it happening. And everyone's like, yeah, you raped her. And it's like, she doesn't understand that that's not Kirk.
Yeah, I mean, how could she?
That's not rapey Kirk. And the other guy doesn't get the, you know, the guy that got choked out.
Yeah, they haven't been able to establish that one guy has been injured slightly.
Well, one person is with Mr. Spock and doesn't have a cut on his face and isn't sweating profusely and is wearing a different t-shirt.
Yeah.
I don't think they hand those burlap sacks out to just anyone.
Yeah, they don't give a captain's fucking garbage tunics to just anybody.
But...
Well, that's the way good Kirk
Well, the best part is when they show that other stupid dog when he's talking to Scotty. Scotty's like, oh yeah, the transport is broken, so we beamed up this dog, and one came up, and it's all nice and good, and the other one's evil. It's just an evil dog.
Well, he doesn't say that it's evil. He says one is docile and calm, the other one's aggressive.
Yeah. So he tells it to the captain, and I think Spock was there. Nobody makes the fucking connection.
Yeah, nobody's got the connection yet. Until they do the... Until they are, you know, telling Yeoman Ryan that she was not raped by Kirk.
After that, she still thinks she was raped by him.
They right, never... it's way later when she...
It's at the end of the episode.
Figures it out. Yeah,
the
yes.
very end of the episode is when he... tells her.
I just thought, this is, it's so sad. Because she clearly went through this traumatic experience and, like, a guy who looks exactly like the guy that tried to rape her is just like, hey, no, I didn't.
Well, she's
and
not.
A circumventing officer. She even says, like, I wouldn't have even, I didn't even want to say, I didn't want to get you in trouble. Like, what? Like, you were going to let this slide if nobody else saw? Like, you were going to let, like, a rape slide? That's pretty rough. Man, I know he's your boss, but fuck.
Well, doesn't get that, you know, he wasn't the one trying to rape her. They don't tell anyone that there's a malfunction with the wizard machine that can make matter out of nothing.
Right. Lots of things make matter out of nothing in the original series
and
Star Trek.
Split the id and the superego apart.
Fuck.
Into another living entity. I figured it out, though. If you go through the whole episode, Spock is the Ubermensch.
All right. We'll get into that a little more.
There.
So now they say, like, okay, there's definitely an imposter. They're not sure that it's a transporter duplicate yet. I mean, I don't get that idea. I get the idea that they know there's an imposter. But they're not sure who it is. Have they figured out that it's a transporter thing yet? They know it's an imposter, but...
Yeah, they brought that stupid fucking dog up.
All right, yeah, I got here more space dog.
And they know that it's not... They beamed one up and two came out of the transporter because probably someone was fucking doing their job at that second, which no one in the Enterprise seems to be able to fucking do.
Right. Well, if everybody was adequate at their jobs, it'd be a lot less conflict.
Yeah, it'd be like actual space flight.
Just be like, all right, everything's going great. Oh, we're having a slight diplomatic problem.
Oh, well, we did our mission correctly. Now everyone has fucking knowledge that microbes live in space.
We've learned new things.
Maybe that's why people don't give a shit about actual space flight or actual science. They want dumb shit.
They want space dogs.
No, they want, like, really dumb shit. Like, space dogs was good for the 60s. This is fucking 2016, my friend. Take a pill. You can use 100% of your brain. Because that's how brains work. Apparently. I have 10% of this mass of flesh in my head. That's what science fiction is.
Yeah.
Congratulations, writers. You're fucking terrible.
Not all writers, but yes, whoever wrote Limitless.
Any writer who's not dead is probably fucking terrible, with a few exceptions.
Is Arthur C. Clarke still alive?
I don't think so.
He was alive. Oh, shit. I'm thinking of 10 years ago.
Yeah, he may have been. I don't know.
He was alive 10 years ago, but maybe not now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Limitless.
They start talking about capturing Davy Hafkirk, and they're like, oh, we can't kill him because we have no idea what that'll do to you. Like, it was just, it seemed like a weird jump. Like, why do you think it's going to hurt you? And they're just saying there's no way we could know. There's no way we could know.
Yeah,
we have to stun him. Like, you have this space dog right here. The experiment on the fucking space dog. What's they do later?
Whoa, easy. Easy, Mangala. Just because you have two of one thing doesn't mean you have to experiment with it.
I'm just saying, like, people's lives are at risk.
Yeah, fill it full of sand and see what happens.
People's lives. Right? It's not JFK.
Sew them back together.
I'm just saying, people's lives are at risk. You have...
Oh, yeah, there's people examples. Stuck on the planet. We haven't really talked about that.
Oh, yeah. They can't bring Sulu and the OAT back because it's because the transporter might split everybody. And they say it gets to be a negative 120 at night on the planet.
Is that Celsius or Fahrenheit?
I don't know.
Or do they have a new one in Star Trek? Just... The Federation uses Fahrenkelvin. Felvin. That's what they use.
Felvins?
Yeah. Marty Feldman. Going to reach negative 170 Marty Feldman.
They aren't Corey Feldmans. Okay.
At least it's not positive 170 Corey Haynes. Holy shit, that's hot.
There's nothing hotter than 107 Corey Ames.
Yeah, rollerblading.
Fuck.
So they have the...
Go ahead.
So Eeyore Kirk...
Fuck. Eeyore Kirk.
...is walking around all sad and shit. And his plan is... We're going to give everyone in the ship a gun because they can do that now after all their hilarious mishaps with no one having guns in the last forever,
or
I guess.
Or having guns at weird times.
Yeah, everyone gets a gun. They're all set on the lowest stun setting, and everyone's going to comb the ship for the imposter, which is the only logical solution to this problem. But Spock totally talks him out of that.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can't do that, because then they'll have doubt that you're...
Yeah, you have to be perfect to the crew.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I mean, you have to always be respected by your crew, right? You've got
to... No, you have to be perfect, apparently.
What, perfect?
Well, yeah, because Spock's going full Ubermensch on this one.
Oh.
And he's like, Kirk, you're Das Führer. You need to be perfect. You can't do the actual thing that will solve this problem quickly and efficiently and not cause any more damage or loss of life, because you need to appear perfect. Even though that if we explain to everyone that there's a malfunction, there's now two of you, that's too much for their tiny brains to comprehend. They'll think you're weak and they'll mutiny for some fucking reason.
Right.
Which is like... Spark has gone full-blown aluminum foil hat conspiracy at that point, where he's just logic and reason, fuck him. What's the best way to catch this guy? Do nothing. Have no plan, but keep up appearances like you're in charge.
Just Soviet Union style.
Yeah.
But then Kirk says, like, there's an imposter. There's somebody who looks like me, and he has three scratches on his face. He says that to the whole ship.
Yeah, so we went against Premier Spock.
And you go to a shot of Davy Hafkirk in the quarters just fucking losing his mind over it. Like, throwing shit, making the best, making those great Kirk faces. I'm guessing he applied more mascara.
I don't know, whose quarters was he in that there was just a bunch of, like...
Yeah, I thought he was in his inn. Yeah, that's my next thing. Why does he have makeup? Because then he finds some makeup and he puts it on to cover up the scratches, but where did he get makeup?
It was in the whoever's quarters it was.
I thought he was in his own quarters.
Well, you know.
Maybe not. Maybe he just has
cover. Because the captain needs to be perfect at all times. You can't let those...
You can't let those blemishes...
Those dissident blemishes...
Just incite mutiny.
Yeah. Cats and dogs sleeping together.
Masses to it.
Yeah, there it is. So, yeah, he gets some...
He gets that
foundation, puts some foundation puts it on.
And then the guy from the transporter room is walking by when he opens the door. He's like, hey, let me just hand me your gun. He's like, yeah, absolutely, sir. Which, I don't know, I guess I would do that for a commanding officer.
Yeah, especially just, after the commanding officer just did an announcement over the fucking PA that, hey, everyone, there's an imposter. He probably should have mentioned that I will be on the bridge.
If you see me not on the bridge.
I will be on the bridge for the next 4 hours. Because there's nothing more I have to do right now than to catch my doppelganger instead of like, okay, well, everyone look for this guy. I'm just going to fucking go wherever. So, I'm not going to tell you what I'm wearing either.
I could be either one.
I will give no description whatsoever. So, everyone... Do whatever.
Well, he doesn't know what the other Kirk is wearing yet.
He could have asked fucking Power Weave Rand.
Yeah.
But she was too shaken up and convinced that she was right and he was wrong, even though she doesn't understand the facts or what happened. So describe what her attacker looked like. Or the other guy.
Well, I mean, it seems like it would be enough to say looks exactly like the captain would be enough. But in this instance, not.
Yeah, what was he wearing? Was he wearing this fucking burlap sack?
Was he wearing this shit right here?
Yeah. With its fucking clasp.
So then we get a shot down to Sulu on the planet. It's 20 below. He's like, it's 20 below, and they're just grabbing, like, a parachute or a tarp or emergency blankets to wrap around themselves.
No. Yeah.
And I'm like, 20 below? They're fucked already. Like, 20 below is so cold to be exposed in just a uniform. And even if that uniform is some kind of space age...
Well, this was... You jumped.
How far did I jump?
Because... You didn't go where they were, Kirk and Spock, because they can't stay on the fucking bridge to, you know, have the entire ship conduct a search. They, like, must have called the search off because only they go into the engineering.
Oh, no, that's next. That was right after.
I wrote these fucking things down in order.
So did I.
You're wrong.
He says 20 below. He just calls up and says it's 20 below. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, calls up, says 20 below, and I just thought, you're fucked already. How long can you be exposed in negative 20 degrees? I don't care what kind of fine Italian leather your boots are made of, you're in fucking trouble if it's negative 20.
That's the finest leather.
Yeah, I mean, their feet are fucking perfectly dry, no matter what, but they're going to die.
A little bit, yeah.
Like, how much time elapses? The actual 45 minutes that we are watching? Because... if that's the amount of time, maybe they could survive that kind of temperature, but I'm pretty sure those temperatures would kill a human being.
Yes.
Especially as it goes further on.
Yeah, they definitely would. Yeah, they go into engineering.
Yeah, then they go look in engineering, and it's fucking empty. It's empty.
Yeah, because everyone's searching.
Nobody is ever in fucking engineering.
Nobody's fucking...
This is a problem.
Nobody's anywhere on this ship. Where the fuck is everyone?
Did somebody fuck up the schedule? And, like, yesterday, everybody worked a shift in engineering. But, like, today, nobody's on shift. And they're like, God damn it, Carol. You fucking ruined the schedule again.
There's
nobody in engineering. Just empty.
No. There's no one in the halls. There's no one anywhere. There's literally no one ever.
Then we see... Fucking Davy Half Kirk is up on top of
the
machines.
Starfleet. Just empty ships.
I mean, he couldn't hide down there if there were people there, so I guess that's just one of those
Oh, you mean engineering, where the engines are? That's some place no one needs to be.
I just meant they just wrote it that way to be like, oh, he's in engineering.
Ugh. Fucking awful.
Well, he would have said like a Jeffries tube. I believe there's nobody in the Jeffries tubes right now, but...
Everyone's probably in the Jeffries tubes.
That's where they are.
They're fucking somewhere. They're not at their post. No one is in engineering.
But so we get the hot Kirk on Kirk action. He's on top of a machine, jumps down, and they... I really like the creative cuts, like the way they try and make it. Because obviously they can't shoot Billy Shatz on Billy Shatz, so they got to stand in sometime, like, you know, and they're only showing the back of him. And I really love those cuts, like the way they had to be really creative with that.
That's the most creative they were in this episode.
I don't know, inventing, just creating matter from nothing is inventive.
The fucking, the wizard transporter?
Yeah.
No, it's okay.
Then Spock sneaks up on Davy Havkirk, gives him a nerve pinch, and we get a frozen teeth on my dick face from Kirk, and then he goes down, and I think, do nerve pinches hurt? Because it's kind of like sometimes you see somebody will, like, they'll wince really hard and then black out, and other times it's nothing. They just, gone.
It's the Vulcan neck pinch. Not a nerve pinch.
Oh, shit.
I'm pretty sure he breaks your spine and you become a paraplegic or quadriplegic, depending on your...
I don't think that's it.
Oh, well, I don't know.
I mean, I don't think he breaks your spine.
But I hope he does.
Well, they make it seem painful in the reboot universe.
Yeah, I guess it's very painful.
When Spock hits Khan with it.
Yeah, that was a good scene.
I feel like maybe we feel differently about it.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah,
and when Emo Kirk's going down, he blasts a hole in...
Oh, yeah, but blows a hole in what they later tell us is important transporter equipment.
Yeah.
Because
I wrote down that he blows a hole in the only non-essential conduit full of wires on a fucking spaceship. But, turns out they were important. That one conduit of wires was all for the transporter. So Sulu, you and the crew down there, fucked.
Yeah.
Because even if we could figure out how to fix all this fucking curry dust on fucking Smocks, no, it doesn't. It's moot point. Transporters are blown up.
Because broken. So they talk about Kirk losing the power of decision because Davy Havkirk is all the parts of him, the lust and the animal part, you know, all that, and then Kirk is slowly going to lose the power of decision, but why? If he didn't have the ability to make a decision when he first split, I would say, of course, oh yeah, okay, that's the decisive part of him over here. But why would he just lose the power of decision? If he had that ability at all, then he still has it.
It's idiotic storytelling.
I think it's just to up the stakes.
Yeah.
They're just like, we're trying to make it even more. So now we get a shot of Sulu.
They might as well just had a countdown timer right on the fucking bottom of the screen that said, Kirk dies.
Yeah.
Kirk's loss of willpower leading to eventual apathy and death. Tick, tick.
Until he dies of a broken heart.
Yeah. Until he can't make a decision on whether or not to breathe or pump blood through his heart. And he just fucking keels over.
So then we go down to the surface with the Sulu and the away team.
Is this another one where he just dies? He's just going to die for no reason? Like, oh, everything's fine, but he's just going to die.
It feels that way. It feels that way. So Sulu's on the boys like, hey, it's negative 41 degrees. Negative 41? They, at least now they're all kind of cuddling next to some rocks.
They're all wrapped in one big balloon.
Yeah, I put parachute, but yeah. Yeah. And then Sulu makes like a joke that I liked, like, hey, why don't you just lower a rope down with a pot of coffee? I just like that.
Yeah.
Tetsulu's keeping up those keeping up the jokes in the face of freezing to death. He should be dead already.
Yeah, well, he says, if you can't get coffee, some rice wine would be okay.
Yeah.
So there's like four guys down there, and they've known for, you know, a little bit of time, not exactly 5 minutes, that rescue wasn't on the way. So instead of making any kind of fucking shelter, because they have all those boxes and shit down there, they couldn't, you know, band those together and make some kind of shelter so that they don't freeze to death.
I'm guessing they had those.
Which they know is coming.
Yeah.
They know it's coming and they don't do anything because they're too busy fucking writing down and making up puns. Hey, if you want from that spaceship in orbit, why don't you just lower down some coffee on a rope? It's cold down here.
Getting pretty cold.
Getting pretty cold.
I'm guessing all they have is those emergency blanket. That's what they're using.
Yeah, but there's crates of stuff that they're around.
Well, they were specimen collecting. I don't. Those might be animals or something, for all I know.
Well, they're going to fucking freeze to death.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
So let them run free and use those boxes to create some kind of shelter, because it's going to get ridiculously cold very quickly.
It's already negative 41.
Yeah.
I've never even experienced that kind of cold.
Well, apparently they have, because they're just huddled up in that fucking giant.
At negative 20, they weren't even seeking shelter.
No, not
even. Negative 41, now they're like, okay, we need to cuddle down and get up against these rocks to block the wind.
Yeah. Oh, we'll heat up the rocks with our phasers. Because that seems like a very good idea.
Yeah.
Because that heat will definitely help you out in the exposed openness of your non-fucking shelter, you idiots. There's four of them down there, and they're all fucking stupid.
Yeah, they should have built the shelter. They definitely should have.
Something. I didn't feel bad. I was like, they should. Good. Let them die. Fucking idiots. Couldn't build a fucking shelter.
Not Sulu. Fuck the rest of them, but Sulu
Has to. Well, Sulu is just, you know what? He can have all those puns keep him warm. That's what he can do.
Yeah, because when they heat up the rest of the phasers, they say it's negative 75. Because we go back to the ship for a second, we come back to them, negative 75, and they're heating the rocks with their phasers. And they've already used all the power in a phaser, they say. Out of the four phasers, they've already used up one. Like, how much energy does that take? How much battery life is in a phaser? I don't know.
Obviously not enough to keep a rock warm.
Hot, yeah.
In the exposed open air of your non-Falcon shelter.
Yeah, non-shelter. We got it. There's no shelter.
Should have beamed down some of them ovens.
Yeah. Oh, man. If they had
just so they could have turned them on and then opened the door.
Yeah.
Not had a fucking shelter for that to pump heat into.
Yeah.
Just stand next to the oven.
If only. So then we go back to the ship. We get the news that the panel that Davy Havkirk shot was actually something they needed. For the transporter.
It was all the transporters.
And they ask Scotty how long it's going to take. And he's like, probably about a week.
Yeah.
But Scotty says it like he's given an estimate on a car. Like, hey, this essential ship system to save everybody's life, how long is it going to take? He doesn't like, he's just like, hey, you're going to be up about a week. Probably cost about a grand.
It would have been nicer if you would have done like a stretch and a yawn. Yeah. How long is it going to take, Scotty?
Week? Probably.
Gonna overnight some parts from Japan.
And he's kind of like that for the entire, like, episode. Because I make that a note that he has that kind of, like, attitude later on.
He's probably still pissed from the last episode. Like, you idiots are fucking just letting these people go into engineering. You know what? I'm going to keep it empty from now on.
Yeah. Now nobody works in here.
Yeah. Now I'm the only one that works in here. And I'm the only one that runs the transporters. I do fucking everything. So when I say it's going to take a week, you better not give me any fucking lip.
Because I'm the only one working.
Yeah. I fire the rest of the engineers so you idiots can learn. How about that? Son of a bitch.
Then we go to the med bay, where Davy Havkirk and Eeyore Kirk are together, and probably the greatest acting moments of Billy Shatt's career, as he screams on the table, it's fantastic. I love that scene. But I love that, like, I love that hokey, those campy, like, Kirk things that Kirk does. Like, that's part of the fun of Star Trek for me.
I mean, I guess. Space Batman. What, he's fucking Space Adam West. That's what it yes. is.
Yeah, I actually saw Adam West and William Shatner at Comic-Con, like, 2 years ago. It was the best thing I've ever seen. It was amazing. Like, it was maybe better than when my first son was born. It was so much fun to see.
I saw Lou Ferrigno.
I met Lou Ferrigno, too.
Yeah, he was a dick. He wouldn't shake my hand.
Oh, he shook my hand. Oh. And Stuart's hand.
Well, fair enough.
I thought he did shake your hand.
And you no, said he didn't. Oh, he did, but it was the weakest hand.
It was a weak handshake.
He might as well not shake an hand.
Because I remembered that when I was going to shake his hand. It's like, I wonder if it's going to be real weak.
Was it real weak?
It was a medium. Medium, not weak.
Yeah, mine was terrible.
I just say he was bigger then. Maybe he felt like he couldn't apply any pressure.
I just say he didn't shake it because that's what he did. He didn't shake it. He just put his hand out. Like he's the fucking queen or some shit. Sorry, Pope Ferrigno.
I wish Lou Ferrigno was the Pope.
I didn't get to fucking kill all those fucking heretics. Don't be mad at me and turn green. Green papal supremacy. Some bitch. That's alright. It's fine. He's not going to hear this.
Yeah, because he's partially deaf. Is that a deaf joke?
No, he probably has better things to do than this.
Well, I mean, maybe he's a big fan of Star Trek.
Yeah.
But,
Maybe he'll shake Star Trek's hand.
Yeah, so, Lou, know you're a big fan. Feel free to email us feel free to email us. We'll have you on the show. You can just turn a podcast up as loud as you can. That was very patronizing.
You can just cut all that out, Peter.
Yeah. You might want to cut some portion of that out, Pete.
Hey, Pedersen, remember when you said the best part of the Incredible Hulk TV show was the music? Because he gave me a terrible handshake and he's deaf. That was funny.
Oh, shit.
That happened. Yeah, just cut all that out.
So then Kirk comes up with the solution. Eeyore Kirk says, I have to take him back inside me. Which is just every...
He didn't say that.
He did say, I have to take him back
inside. He said, I have to take him back inside myself. I wrote it down because I think that should be the ultimate title of this episode. And have some Melissa Etheridge playing in the background.
Yeah, definitely. I love that.
And like a Dawson's Creek style pan on a boat in a lake.
You pull back farther and it's the holodeck. That doesn't exist in this series.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just have the transporter turn on for fucking no reason and control itself and create one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll forget it. they leave to go do... just to go back to the bridge. And we get crazy eyes and a crazy smile from Davy Havkirk, implying that maybe he's not as weak as it seemed.
Yeah.
Scotty is just no fucking help. When they're talking to him in the transporter room, that's what they're in the transporter room. Scotty is just so down on the whole thing. Like, I mean, maybe brakes might not. We might need all new tires.
Well, yeah. I mean, how many times do you think this has happened, where some asshole's just running around the Enterprise blasting holes in fucking conduits and shit because nobody understands the concept of don't shoot guns inside of a fucking spacecraft? Scotty's probably the most pissed off. He's like, oh yeah, not only got to deal with you assholes blowing up fucking power conduits, I got to change your fucking light bulbs and shit too because you won't hire a janitor.
I'm the one who... I'm sure some of those guys in kimonos are fucking janitors.
Yeah, well, yeah. They go to change a light bulb, and what happens? They get fucking thrown into the eighth dimension because that's how this fucking Enterprise works?
Well, that's how TV shows work. All the things have to happen to these small group of people.
Yeah.
Fucking...
Johnson went to go fucking fix your door, Kirk, but sadly, when he started... loosening up the control panel to go inside of it, fucking Jerry O'Connell showed up out of nowhere, grabbed him, and they slid back to fucking San Francisco.
Can you imagine what it's like to be on another, to like be on shore leave with someone from another ship, and then just be like, what happened? Yeah, we went to meet the Andorians, and it was fantastic. Everybody got along. I had this great Andorian cuisine. I met myself a cute girl on the ship. And
that was a Viking.
And that was it. What happened to you? A boy with unlimited cosmic power came on the ship. Then we all did space meth. And then later on, our captain turned into two people. One that was a fuck machine, and one that was Eeyore.
Yeah. Then we had to fight a giant crystalline structure that was sentient for some reason, and the captain outwitted it while he was high on crystal meth.
Yeah, I can't imagine being
He was
like,
chipping off pieces of the crystalline structure and smoking that because it was space meth. And then, you know, Johnson got thrown into the fucking eighth dimension when he was trying to change a light bulb.
You remember the eugenics wars? Yeah. A general from the eugenics wars, turns out, not dead, was alive, took over the ship.
Yeah. We had a figment of someone's imagination running around the fucking ship with a gun, just blasting holes in conduits. We lost life support for 28 minutes. That was cool. Thankfully, I shoved my face into the hand plant, which provided me with oxygen, but everyone died except for, you know, the captain, the XO, the science officer, one yeoman for some fucking reason.
Like seven helmsman.
Yeah, like nine people survived out of 416, and I was one of them because I shoved my face into the hand plant.
My God, I was in the...
Unfortunately, its excess is oxygen, but not... you know, the way you would think, it's actually its urine. Its urea is oxygen, and it tastes as such. So how are things over on the Yamato? Good? Oh. Looking to transfer.
Yeah. You think getting transferred to the Enterprise, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's what the glory is. Or it's like, no. Anything but the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Too much shit happens there.
There's two people that try to transfer onto the Enterprise. One is Gomer Pyle from Full Metal Jacket, a person who doesn't know their right from their left and will surely die. And the other is Kevin Spacey's character from Seven. That's who those two people want to transfer onto the Enterprise. Because one wants to jump into the fucking Nexus and control it, and the other one is just cannon fodder for whatever new disease, godlike creature, sentient robot, fucking new species, interdimensional rift comes across. Oh, to wrap it up, everything's fine.
So they put the two dogs, the two space dogs on the transporter, and one is clearly a stuffed animal
Definitely a stuffed lion.
A stuffed lion?
Okay. It's a stuffed lion that they put candy cane chopsticks on the head.
So they send it out, they bring it back, only the stuffed lion comes back, and it is dead.
Yeah, it's dead.
Spock says it dies of, says it must have died, or Bones says it must have died of shock, and Spock's like, oh yeah, it's shock, but it's blind fear. That's what gave it the shock that killed it. Bones says, Kirk, don't do it. You could die.
Yeah.
It's actually a pretty good exchange.
And Spock says, oh, I struggle with two different sides, one Vulcan, one human.
Throws out some half-human shit.
And, I mean, Spock survives by the triumph of the will, which I don't understand. He's the most illogical in this one.
This is so presumptuous. Yeah, like
everything Spock says in this episode, you could be like, hey, Spock, how do you feel about gem power? And he'd be like, it's the way to do it. Line up all your chakras, fucking get all the bad shit out. If I took the two of you and duct taped you together and put some quartz in between you, you would form one person again.
Yeah, Spock is just like, I struggle with my half-human side. Hey, that's great, Spock, but I'm actually two people. This isn't like a struggle within myself. This is a struggle against another myself.
Yeah. Against a materialized version of my psyche. The bad.
So we get back down to the planet. Sulu is, it's negative 117. So they should be dead. They should be way dead. It doesn't matter how many rocks they hit with phasers or how many emergency blankets they have, you're fucking dead. There's no way you would survive at that temperature.
They're not even huddled together.
Yeah, they're not even huddled together anymore. They're just like, fuck, if the end is coming.
Yeah.
I'm going to die over here.
It's a good thing we didn't build a shelter. Whoever wrote this episode must not have been a Boy Scout. I wasn't a Boy Scout either, but I at least learned, like, oh, you should find shelter.
Yeah, well, I mean,
even rudimentary.
I didn't check to see if the writer was a Boy Scout.
They're probably not.
Yeah, I'm going to guess not.
They would have been huddled up together for warmth, naked. Protects against hypothermia.
So Kirk says, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to lose the crew. It's like the last minute. In the time it takes for him to get to the transporter room, they're all dead anyway, but
they're not dead.
I know, but they should have been. Eeyore gets Davy Havkirk. Davy Havkirk pretends to faint, knocks him out, and then Davy Havkirk like runs up to the bridge to take command.
Everyone on the Enterprise is an idiot.
No.
Yeah. Absolutely everyone on the Enterprise is an idiot. They're like, oh, we're going to go. Spock just disappears. And Kirk's like, well, I'll take this other version of me, because having two people together do one thing would just be a waste of resources, you know? You just go wait for me in the transporter room where we're going to meet. We're both going that way, but you leave before me.
I'll bring the prisoner. Myself.
Yeah, I'll bring the person who's going to overpower me by myself. Idiots.
Yeah,
so he gets overpowered.
Yeah, he goes to the bridge. He's freaking out, like, right away. Just screaming, I'm the captain, blah, blah. I was like, wait, way to go, guys. Like you couldn't tell. You're already sweatier and more makeup than the other Kirk that we hang out with usually.
Yeah. So we get both Kirks on the bridge.
Yeah, and more of those creative cuts that I like.
For what I like to call in most movies is, who's the real asshole moment? Because there's two of them, and it's like, ooh, which one are you going to choose? Thankfully, this one didn't come down to that. It was just, that one's being hysterical, and this one's being ultra manic depressed and full of fucking zannies.
Yeah, so Eeyore takes David Havkirk's phaser and just, like, throws it across the bridge. Seems dangerous. Maybe phasers don't...
Fuck it, blow a hole in something.
Maybe phasers don't accidentally fire the way guns can accidentally fire.
It's really hard to get a gun to do that.
What?
But then again, a gun is a mechanical device, and this is not. It's an electronic device, so yeah.
Yeah. Well, according to the Hardy Boys, you can make guns fire off, like, literally with anything. Well, light touches.
The Hardy Boys are pretty dumb. You're talking the book?
Yeah, I'm talking about the books.
The old-timey books?
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably written by the same guy.
No, it's not.
Could be.
I mean, I looked it up, and I know the name of the
They both writer. Don't use logic and reason.
Well, I mean, that's true.
I looked at that gun and it shot someone.
That's what it's like by now.
Yeah.
Hardy Boys.
Hardy Boys in the case of no one can build a fucking shelter. Forward by Nancy Drew.
Oh, shit. So anyway, they take Davy Havkirk, they go to the transporter room, they get beamed off hugging.
Yeah, they have a really awful I wanna live moment.
Yeah, and then they come back, there's one Kirk, everyone dramatically waits until he gives a line that says, "Kirk is back." I can't remember what his line was, like, let's get the crew back.
Let's
something
get
like
physical.
That. Yeah, let's get physical. And then Bones says...
I hope it was let's get dangerous.
It wasn't. Actually, it wasn't let's get physical, but...
Thunder, ho!
Bones says, like, oh, the crew is all going to be fine. They have a little bit of exposure. A little bit of fucking exposure? What's the negative 117 degrees? Last time we saw them, I'm guessing they've been in sub-zero temperatures for fucking 4 hours.
It's fine.
It's a bit much.
It's fine. Fuck them.
Yes, fuck them.
So they get not building a shelter.
So then Young Rand comes up and he like apologizes. For his other self, kind of. Kirk apologized for his other self. He's like, hey, you know, sorry I almost raped you. But I was kind of split into two. Much like I was trying to do to you. And she's kind of like, it's okay. It's kind of like, could I be someone else's yeoman? Because I'm not going to be over this. You assaulted me. And even though it wasn't you, someone who looks just like you, I'm gonna have some problems.
It's fine.
Then Spock makes him kind of like, oh, that Kirk is like a rah. And I'm like, it sounds like Spock is making a joke about Yeoman Rand being into Kirk, but she's fucking so not into Kirk because he tried to rape her earlier that day. Even though it wasn't Kirk, still someone who looked exactly like her. If someone who looked exactly like me beat the shit out of my wife, and then I rolled in later, I was like, oh, it was me, someone looked like me, she'd still have a lot of problems.
Well, yeah, but if it was actually someone different who just looked like you, you could work through it.
Yeah, I mean, eventually, but she might have some time off.
Yeah, she might.
And there she is on the bridge that day. That's all I'm saying.
This is a terrible episode.
So, the enemy within.
Another turd.
Besides the fact that Kirk has the greatest facial acting.
Right in the toilet.
Ever. It's amazing.
Nope.
Besides some hard rape issues. I enjoyed the episode. Not one of my favorites. I not as much as I enjoyed The Naked Time, but you know, I had fun.
No. Just no. It was bad. It was a bad one. I don't know when I'm going to run into, like, I must have forgot that the first series is terrible.
I mean, you liked this before. You've seen...
Yeah, I've seen them all before, but now that I'm rewatching them, I'm just like, God, these are fucking awful.
Well, I'm definitely finding a difference being analytical. I watched them all, like, 2 years ago. But I'm definitely finding a difference watching them this way to talk about them.
Well, I mean, fair enough. They just... Not a big fan.
Yeah. Well, I am still having... I'm still loving it.
Poor writing.
Well, I mean, it's definitely not what I'm used to.
What?
I mean, like, you know, I didn't really grow up on original series. I grew up on Next Gen, and then I went on to see some original series later because I dated a girl that loved the original series, so I'd watch it with her.
Yeah, this episode is bad. Just bad.
It's great facial acting.
No, it's...
Possibly the greatest face actor of our generation.
That doesn't matter. That's not... We're not watching...
I'm highlighting the positives.
It's fucking...
I'm highlighting a positive. My favorite part of the episode is that face acting.
Okay, well, go watch a fucking mime, then. Because it's the same thing. It's like, oh, how much expression can I show on my face... Sans the terrible fucking plot holes and poor writing and awful decisions that are progressing through this storyline. And how a lot of this shit just doesn't make sense. And how characters are actively doing shit against what their character normally does. Like all of Spock in this episode where he doesn't use any logic or reason. He's just pure, unadulterated, insane emotion.
Right. I think a lot of our... I think a lot of our problems is that we're watching 60s TV.
Really? Bet you I can go turn on episode Twilight Zone and still be pretty fucking good.
Twilight Zone is a bunch of standalones. There's no... They're not trying to continue on the story of a group of people. That's different. That's why I think the Twilight Zone works so well.
How many of these episodes... These episodes haven't even tied into each other.
Well, I mean,
they're standalone episodes with fucking characters who change positions constantly. They change positions in the ship. The XO disappears, then becomes something else.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
I don't know what the fuck Sulu does.
Sulu's helm.
Not in this one.
Right. I mean, he's... You can't always be on shift.
Or any of those other ones.
Right. It's not
no
that,
one could be on shift.
It's not that well defined.
Okay, well, don't knock Twilight Zone because it was written.
I'm not knocking Twilight Zone. Twilight Zone's great. It's a different, it's just a different creature, even though it's the same time period.
We should just be watching old Gunsmokes. And we'll superimpose who we think should be in what position. I don't know enough about Gunsmoke to name a character to figure out who will be Kirk, but I think we should just do that. The next
I'm not
episode,
watching, I'm not watching fucking Gunsmoke.
The next episode, I'm gonna watch a Gunsmoke, and I'll come up with it. And then you tell me what happens, and I'll tell you what Gunsmoke character did it.
God damn it! We're not watching Gunsmoke.
How about F-Tree?